We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other thing. Not because they are easy, but because they are hard.
~270,000 high school boys step on the wrestling mat every year to train and compete. The best of them go on to wrestle in college, where the goal is to win the NCAA championship. My guest today is Kyle Dake, a four-time NCAA Division I champion, a feat achieved only twice before in history by Pat Smith and Kale Sanderson. But he made history and won it incredibly in four different weight classes, 141, 149, 57, and 65. And without taking a redshirt year, he's the 2013 Den Hodge Trophy winner and Sports Illustrated College Athlete of the Year. But more importantly, I saw that you play a little Xbox, right?
A little bit.
Are you a first-person shooter guy?
Yeah, I play Black Ops and the new one, Ghosts.
That's funny because it seems like a lot of elite-level athletes are damn good at like Call of Duty. Like Michael Phelps said he played Call of Duty about 30 hours a week leading up to the London Olympics. Have you had the chance to test yourself, you know, your Call of Duty skills against other wrestlers?
Yeah, I played against a bunch of guys at the Olympic Training Center.
Where do you stack up?
I'm definitely top two. I know there's some other guys out there who wrestle in college who are way better than I am.
You get just as competitive about it?
Oh yeah. If someone beats me, I'll play for 4 straight hours a night just to practice. just get it in.
Awesome. So going back a bit, you grew up in upstate New York, right?
Yeah, I grew up just outside of Cornell in a little town, Lansing, New York.
Where and when did you pick up wrestling? When did you start competing?
I started competing when I was 4, but wrestling's really, you know, it's been a part of my life since I can remember. You know, there's pictures of me when I was a little kid with a headgear on, you know, 1 year old. I've been in the wrestling room, on the wrestling mats since I was born. My dad was a college assistant coach at Cornell and at Ithaca College, and he wrestled at Kent State University. My grandfather was also a coach. He coached at Lansing High School. He coached at Ball State. He coached at a couple places in Cleveland, and he went to Ball State University as well. So, you know, it's been part of the family for the past 3 generations. You know, I'm a third generation guy and in the sport of wrestling.
And your dad was your high school coach too, right?
Yeah, my dad was my coach all the way through since I started competing. He worked with me when I was in the youth program, and when I got to modified age, I ended up actually wrestling varsity when I was in 7th grade and 8th grade.
Oh, wow.
So I never wrestled modified, but when I was in 5th and 6th grade, I'd always go to modified practices because my grandfather was a coach modified and my dad was the head coach of the varsity team. So I would just go to the modified practices because there was a couple small guys that I could roll around with. So, you know, I had some pretty unique opportunities to really improve my skill set.
Did you struggle at any point when you were starting? How did you do in competition when you first started?
I think the first tournament I wrestled in, I took 3rd.
Were you discouraged at all?
No, I was ecstatic. I got a trophy. It was awesome. After I lost my match, I think I probably cried. And then for, I don't know, 30 seconds, then my dad told me you got another match. And if you win, you get a cool trophy. And that was that. You know, I was ready to wrestle after that.
Was your dad tough on you when you didn't perform as well as you could?
No, he didn't. He was awesome. He never cared if I won or if I lost. The only thing he was worried about is my effort level. If he saw my effort level wasn't there, I definitely, you know, definitely got an earful after the match. But you know, that might have happened a couple times. But when I got older, I always put in 100% to try to go out and win, just because I was a competitor. I was a natural competitor, and I've always wanted to win. I hated losing. So, you know, that was never an issue.
When did you first start dreaming of the NCAA championship or even Olympic gold?
Probably when I started in 6th grade, I started to get pretty good. You know, I won some pretty big tournaments, just Pee Wee tournaments. you know, they're not big in the grand scheme of things, but
big in your mind. Yeah.
In my time, it was a huge tournament. So I started winning in sixth grade and I was like, yeah, this is, you know, I'm getting pretty good at this. And when I got to the varsity team, my seventh grade year, you know, I still did pretty well. I was weighing 79 or 80 pounds at the beginning of the season. And I was wrestling 96 pounds. So I was a tiny little guy going out and wrestling some, you know, bigger guys out there. A funny story actually is that for every single weigh-in, I had to weigh a minimum of 88 pounds.
Right.
So that's 10% of my body weight I had to drink up and eat up before I could wrestle. I had to step on the mat, or I had to step on the scale 2 hour before weighing 88, and my natural body weight was 80 pounds. So I would just be chugging Gatorade and Powerade and just eating huge subs. I'd be sitting at the front of the bus with my dad, and he'd just be shoveling stuff to me. And meanwhile, all the older seniors and juniors are sitting in the back, and they're all cutting weight, feeling all sucked out. And I'm just up there like crying, stuffing myself with all this food just because it hurts so bad to have so much liquid in my body. It was so painful. I mean, I would rather do that now than cut weight.
Right. Yeah, you don't get that story very often of having gained weight.
So my dad would just be shoveling all this food, and I'd step on the scale. And as soon as I step off the scale, the very first time, I remember we were doing Newark Valley. I got on the scale, and as soon as I got off the scale, I turned around and just projectile vomited everywhere. It was disgusting. It was pure blue Powerade, and it had like little orange clementine slices just coming out. It was disgusting. It was, oh my goodness.
You have to sacrifice.
Yeah, you got to sacrifice to do something like that. And that's how I knew I was committed, you know, having to eat up like that just so I could wrestle one match. It wasn't even, you know, never, because in dual meets, 96 pounds didn't count at the time. So it was really just for an exhibition. And it was awesome, though. I wouldn't trade it for the world.
So you said your dad was really supportive, but it sounds like your mom may have been a little tougher on you sometimes throughout your – there's the famous story of throughout your college career, you kept a notebook with your goals. Can you talk about that a little bit? How did it come about?
You know, my mom was super supportive as well, but she expected a lot out of me because, you know, she knew what I was capable of. And that was really important to me, you know, having both my parents there to be so supportive, but also knowing when to push the right buttons. And, you know, they were pretty good at it, and they knew when to, you know, when to get me riled up. They knew when to calm me down. They knew when to, you know, just let me do what I was doing. You know, my mom was always really big on mental toughness, you know, just using your mind to accomplish your goals, just because, you know, your mind will break before your body will break is one of the things that, you know, she kind of told me, and it really stuck just because through personal experience, you know. So I would be doing whatever, a last sprint, and I think I'm dead tired, and then they'd make me get back on the line and I'd do another one. So I was always capable of doing one more, and it kind of just snowball effect until, you know, I really learned it. And then when I got to college, you know, my mom just memorialized it with a notebook, and she told me to write my goals down every single day, just so she, you know, that was her way of keeping me focused on the task at hand. And it was very effective for me because I knew as soon as I woke up, I knew exactly what I had to do to achieve my goals. I knew what the goal of the day was, and the goal of the day was, how are you going to become a national champion this year? And I had to put in the work to become a national champ every single day. You know, I couldn't do it over a week or a weekend. It had to be
every day,
season long, every single day, morning and night, just obsession with it.
Right.
You know, there probably is a better word than obsession. I guess it would be commitment to your goals. And that's what I had. You know, some people look at it as obsession, but for me, I was just committed to what I wanted to do. And I knew what my goals are. I was very focused on becoming the best wrestler I could.
Yeah, obsession has like a negative connotation to it, but it really is just passion. You know, you have to have it, that singular goal, to achieve anything, really.
Exactly.
So you, just to clarify, in case people don't know, you basically wrote your goal in the notebook. for your first year would be NCAA national champ at 141, and you just wrote that over and over every day, and you wrote it twice your second year after you won it, and three times and four times and so on.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you still keep the tradition going for your current goal of being a world champ?
Not really. You know, I just kind of got away from it after the season. You know, I had just accomplished my goal. I'd been focusing all year on March, whatever, March 22nd. And then I had to turn around, and 2 months later, I had to, you know, do exactly what I was doing. You know, I had to compete at a really high level in June. And I don't know, it was just hard for me because I needed a little bit of time off. And then, to get back on the mat and wrestle freestyle, it's like, you know, wrestling is wrestling, but it's kind of like trying to play baseball for an entire season, win the World Series, and then a week later play for the national championship in cricket. You know, that's the way I think of it.
It's close, but not really.
They basically have the same skill set. You know, they have to have very good hand-eye coordination. They have to have speed. They have to – a lot of the things are similar, but the sport is completely different. If you ask two people, you know, are these two sports the same, they would say no.
Yeah, the rule set is completely different, yeah.
That's kind of how wrestling is. You know, the rule set in freestyle and folk style is completely different. And I'm sure there's plenty of other examples of two sports that are similar and that could be, you know, that it's going to be really hard to win both of them just because, you know, you got to make adjustments. And I feel like, you know, there were some adjustments that if I had more time, I could have made better adjustments to my wrestling game freestyle. It was just tough to do that and keep my goals. You know, now I'm in the freestyle season. So this is like the preseason right now where I'm starting to get geared up to compete again and really focus on the world championships, which are in September.
Just to finish up on your college career real quick, early on in your career, you've had four losses, three of which I believe were in overtime. How did those losses contribute to your development? Do you think you would be the same guy without those?
I'm not sure. I like to think so just because I'd love to be undefeated. Everyone hates to lose, but I think I hate to lose more than...
Do those losses haunt you?
World. Yeah, you know, I go back and I think about it and just like wish I would have done something different just to have that perfect record. It's tough to say, you know, something would be different or the same or worse or better. Just because it's a bunch of what ifs.
When you came in your sophomore year, you ranked fourth due to that to a loss. Was there any moment we had doubts about whether you are the best wrestler?
It was actually the opposite, you know. So when I went out and wrestled my sophomore year in the conference championships, I didn't know it at the time, but I wasn't 100% believing in myself, and I had a little bit of doubt, a little shred of doubt. And when I went back and looked at the match and really studied what my preparation was, my mental place before I went out on the mat, I was like, it wasn't me. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't the way I normally wrestle. It wasn't the way I normally prepare mentally, physically, anything like that. So I went back and I was like, you're way better than that. You know, you are a much better wrestler. You do everything better than you showed. And it was a wake-up call, you know. And then the next week I went out and, you know, I wrestled a very good tournament and got my second national championship.
You mentioned freestyle. You happen to be among the four, if I could call them that, the four horsemen of the 74kg division, yourself, Jordan Burroughs, Andrew Howe, and David Taylor. For people that might not know, David Taylor is also Dan Hodge Trophy winner, 2012 NCAA champ, and somebody you beat in the finals of 2013. And Burroughs is a two-time NCAA champ, two-time world champ and Olympic champ, also Dan Hodge Trophy winner. And Andrew Howe is an NCAA champ and by all accounts, really just an incredible wrestler. So you faced all of them in long, tough matches at the 2013 World Trials. I think first match you beat Trent Paulson, then you beat David Taylor, then you beat Andrew Howe. Qualifying you for the final match against Burroughs. And those are all wars that you went through, all tough battles. The first year match against Andrew Howe, he scored on you first, and you evened it out with the same shot later. What goes through your mind when you're down on 2 points? You had the same situation against David Taylor in the finals of NCAA. when you go down, is there a moment of shock, like, how the hell did this happen?
How the hell that happened is pretty negative, and I try to stay positive. Saying how the hell that happened doesn't change the fact going forward that it happened. So I got to think, okay, what do I got to do to get – what do I have to do to you know, score points, erase that deficit? And that's the attitude I had going forward. You know, I got to score. I got to score. I got to score. I got to score. I got to go. I knew I had to push the pace. In both instances, I had to get to my attacks. You know, each match is a little bit different, but the freestyle one, I knew that he had really good defense, and I was going to have to put a couple movements together before I was going to be able to score any points. So I kind of just created a little bit of a flurry, and he came up and he kind of froze, and I was able to get to my shot.
Yeah, it was beautiful. But you did the exact same shot with which he was able to score the first time, but you did it again and you scored.
Yeah, that first shot, you know, I thought I had it, but I got a.
He caught your ankle, I think, is what.
Yeah, he just had. You know, he got it. He had a pretty good defense. You know, he was able to drape over my back and grab my outside ankle. You know, and I made a little bit of adjustment on my next attack to move a little bit more forward rather than just beating him and then having him be able to fall off and grab my ankle. So, you know, making that adjustment helped a little bit too. You have to be positive mentally, and you just got to be in the match the whole time. You can't psych yourself out, and you can't take yourself out of the match just by the way you think. You know, the way you think can either take you out of a match, or it can put you right back in it and put you in a place to win.
You had three battles against Paulson, Taylor, and Howe to earn the chance to face Burrows in best of three. Was exhaustion a factor at all in that match? I mean, you had a really long day leading up to that.
You hate to make excuses for it, so I'm not going to make the excuse of saying that I was exhausted. You know, I went out and I had to compete, and I just didn't get the job done. Either of the match, you know, I made some pretty good adjustments leading forward to that next match, and you know, I just didn't do quite enough. But I'm confident the next time that mentally, you know, I won't have that one second mess up. And I really believe that's all it was. It was a one small little mental thing that I could have made that adjustment. You know, had I made that adjustment with that second match, I think you know, I probably could have won it.
Yeah, and even the first match too, there's little split second adjustments that could have had a very different result. But you came back after you lost the first match against them. You came back firing with a huge throw, which is very exciting to see. Was there any doubt in your mind when you entered the second match, you know, whether you can beat this guy?
No, you know, I had always believed in myself to be able to go out and perform and win any matchup against any person I go out and wrestle. So that never really crossed my mind. It was, you know, I had a bad match and I'm going to wrestle a better one this time. I couldn't keep myself down thinking about that first match. You know, I had to make positive mental adjustments to make sure that I did the best work I could to give myself a chance to win. And I did give myself a chance to win. I just didn't capitalize on it in overtime. I made, you know, just every time I watched the end of that match, had I done one thing different, instead of trying to, you know, I tried to go to a claw ride, which is it was a folk style move, and had I gone to a crotch lift, I would have won the match, and that's unfortunate, but you know, it is what it is,
and you would have won the match probably with the new rules of 4 points for the throw.
Yeah,
all these little things, right? It was a really close match, is the bottom line. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was. That's all there is to say. It was a close match. I'm looking forward to the next one.
Right, so that's what I got to ask. The Burrows-Dig matchup is really one of the most exciting that wrestling has ever seen. So when will you think be the next time you face him? Will it be the U.S. Open?
Yeah, probably the U.S. Open. That's my plan. You know, right now I was wrestling overseas and broke my hand before the competition and still tried to wrestle with it.
Yes, you hurt your hand recently, so at the Golden Grand Prix in Baku, and you still fought, beating the Russian, two-time world champ, Dennis Chargush. Can you talk at this point about that experience of fighting injured against such high level of competition?
It definitely was a learning experience, you know, because I thought Chargush was probably, you know, one of my biggest competition at the tournament. Two-time world champ. He just won the University Worlds. He was coming in hot, and he had been wrestling really well. So, you know, I thought he was my best competition. If I beat him, you know, basically, you know, I would win the tournament. So I went out and beat him, and mentally, I wasn't thinking that the tournament was over. But looking back, it was kind of just let down a little bit, and I should have performed better. And difficult for me to really get any offense, anything with one hand, especially at such a high level where those guys, you know, you got to be on top of your game if you want to go out and win. It was just really difficult for me to try to win with one arm.
Well, what went into the decision to still fight even though your hand is hurt in a major way?
We kind of knew it was broken. We just didn't know. You know, I had time off after. You know, I had did it, and it was such a normal thing, you know, a normal situation when I broke my hand. You know, someone just took a shot, and I blocked his shot with a down block, and I thought my hand got caught in a shirt or something, and it ended up being broken. It swelled up pretty bad, so we just tried to ice it and keep it up, and we put a little bit of protective padding, but when we were over there, we had very limited supplies, and you know, we couldn't really do that much for it. You know, we were already over there. I'd been ready to wrestle, and I'd keep my weight down, and it was really, you know, just let's just go out and wrestle, see how it is. You know, see how you do when you're not at 100%. And you know, I competed pretty well.
Yeah.
My first two matches, my third match. You know, it was my first international tournament, really feeling the way a tournament feels, you know, going 8 time zones away, not sleeping well, you know, all the things that every American has to deal with going over to Europe or Asia to wrestle. You know, that was just my first time doing it. Not being at 100% was a little difficult for me, but you know, I had to test myself. I couldn't go over. I had been overseas, you know, 3 or 4 times and hadn't competed. And you know, I felt I needed to compete. It was eating me up inside, not going over there and just being a training partner. So I felt like I had to compete.
And that was awesome that you did, and you beat a 2-time world champ. You mentioned somewhere I read in an interview that you're exhausted during a match. Is that a natural state that you have to get used to being during a match where your lungs are constantly burning?
Yeah, you know, you train for that. You train to put yourself in situations comparable to that. You have to learn how to function when you're dog tired. You have to learn how to function when you don't think your body's capable of doing anything more, but you have to do more. You can either cower and give up takedowns, give up points, submit to the guy, or you can do everything in your power to make sure that doesn't happen. I like to take that road. It's a tougher road than just submitting and giving up a little bit, but it's more gratifying to realize you gave it your 100% and you gave it more than what you thought you were able to. So feeling that exhaustive state is very important in the practice room, because once you get out on the mat and you felt that pain before, you felt that exhaustion, it's a lot easier to overcome it in competition.
So I also train in judo and in jiu-jitsu, where sometimes judo is similar to wrestling, that the match length is pretty short. In jiu-jitsu, it can be much longer, where there's sometimes a benefit. There's a kind of philosophy of efficiency of movement. Sometimes you have to find positions in which you can rest. Is that at all part of your strategy ever, to find a position where you can, you know, put, like when you're riding the guy, for example, where you could just grind him out, but you're trying to conserve energy yourself for maybe future matches? Or are you always going balls to the wall?
Usually you take it one match at a time, because if you don't win that match, you don't get another shot. So that's really my philosophy, is that you gotta be ready to win and wrestle one match at a time, because if you don't get past that first opponent, you're not going to get to that second opponent. Right. So in that case, you know, I don't try to save energy if I'm in a tight match and I need to score. Whereas if I'm dominating somebody and, you know, I'm feeling a little gassed, maybe I'll grab a Russian tie or a two-on-one or an underhook and try to dominate the ties that way. Just try to slow the pace down a little bit so I can catch my breath. You know, it's not something that's super long where I'm taking a huge long rest. Maybe it's 10 seconds to get my feet back under me and then go out and compete again. You know, so when I was cutting a bit of weight my freshman and sophomore year, I did that a lot more. But when I got to my junior and senior year, I think it was, you know, I'd been used to it, so I wasn't too worried about it. But I was able to just wrestle through every single match.
Your sophomore and freshman year, you're making big weight cuts. And I read somewhere that you're not having fun training during that time. Is training being fun the most important thing that you try to create in your training?
Yeah, you know, I wanted to have as much fun as possible.
Yeah, so what makes for a fun training session? The harder it is, the more fun it is, or what?
Learning is really fun, in my opinion. You know, learning new techniques, learning small different situations that make you better, but also having a great practice where you get better. You know, what is getting better while learning the small technique? Pushing past your pain threshold that you had before. You know, just battling with one of your teammates who you both are just want to compete, and you really push yourself to that next level, where sometimes you don't get that when you wrestle somebody who just cowers to you a little bit. So there's a lot of things to be taken away from practice that, you know, might not always be there, but are there most of the time. So before we have fun, you know, before practice, we'll tell a joke. During practice, you know, it's all work. And then after practice, you get that gratifying feeling. So, you know, you learned something, you did something to get better. You're one step closer to your goal. So that was fun for me. Just realizing that I was one step closer. I was one step closer to achieving my goal. And I lost sight of that my first 2 years a little bit. So at the beginning of the year, I didn't really lose sight of it. I had it. And then I was super focused on maintaining my weight, and I lost sight of it a little bit. And then once the conference championships and the national championships came around, I was back having fun again, because, you know, I realized there's only a couple more weigh-ins left. I don't have to worry about it after, you know, in 3 more weeks, I'm going to be done. I better make the most out of it right now. And I was able to get myself back to that having fun stage and realizing that all the work wasn't wasted, you know, maintaining my weight throughout the entire year, because it's paying off now, because I've gotten good at, you know, got a lot better at making the weight. And I've also proven to myself that I could compete while not feeling the greatest.
Right. And that's when the obsession turns into like a more positive passion. So the name of the podcast is Taken on Easy. So tell me off the top of your head, what is the hardest thing you've ever done on or off the mat?
Ooh.
I know that's a tough question. It doesn't have to be the hardest thing, but it's just something that you remember that really pushed you beyond your limits.
We had one, I think it might have been my freshman year or sophomore year maybe. One of the two. Jordan Lean, he was a national champ for Cornell.
Yeah.
He really helped me out a lot my freshman year. And we had wrestled one day, and we were just literally trying to hurt each other during practice, because we both wanted to win so bad. And he was just kicking the crap out of me. We had drilled for 30 minutes. And then we had a 50-minute grind match, which is you just go 50 minutes of just straight wrestling as hard as you can. I was just mentally exhausted wrestling him. He was a bit bigger than I was. He was a 157-pounder when he graduated. So I had that to deal with, but I was just super exhausted.
During your actually NCAA, your freshman year, Jordan was interviewed on ESPN, like while you were wrestling. I saw that match, and he was asked, you know, what he thinks about you. He's also an NCAA champ out of Cornell. He said that Kyle refuses to accept failure at any level. He takes it personally when he gets taken down in the room by me or anyone. It affects his soul. He's a well-balanced wrestler, but But the key is that he has to win. According to him, he has to win. He will do anything that it took to win. That's some poetry right there.
Yeah, those were. It's just hard. It's hard to say, you know, to say that about somebody. And I'm just happy that something like that could be said about me.
Yeah. So, last question: who's your favorite Breaking Bad character?
My favorite Breaking Bad character. I love Walter. I love Walter White.
Walter, yeah, he's the man.
Gus was the man. He was awesome.
You like the lawyer too?
No, I hate the lawyer. He's annoying. Let's just say Walter was my favorite.
Walter's the man. Yeah. All right. So you're KyleDig444 on Twitter, KyleDig official on Facebook, KyleDig.com is your website. Are there any sponsors or people you like to thank?
Yeah, I'd like to thank CF Athletics, my apparel company, for hooking me up with everything. Milwaukee Tools for helping me out and making sure that my dad's all taken care of with his construction company. Achieve Insights, Mental Training, Finger Lakes Wrestling Club. They're one of my big sponsors, helping me, you know, just being a full time athlete. And Excel Worldwide, Nick Garone. He's really taking care of me, helping me with keeping my life organized.
Awesome. Yeah, man. We all look forward to seeing Kyle Dake in 2014 kick some ass. Thanks for talking today, man.
Thank you.